Welcome to This Week in Money, the source for market opinions, brought to you by AmericanManganeseInc.com. Here is Phil Mackesy.
Martin Armstrong created the economic confidence model. He's author of The Greatest Bull Market in History, and he's founder of Princeton Economics. You can stay up to date with Martin at armstrongeconomics.com. Martin, welcome back to This Week in Money.
Oh, it's always nice to come back.
Your latest post made me laugh. I don't often get a laugh, but I laugh because I remember the scene in Blazing Saddles you're talking about, where the black sheriff holds his gun to his own head and says, "Nobody moves or the black guy gets it." And that is almost as comical as the U.S. government, which is holding a fiscal gun to its own head, right?
Pretty much. It's really a joke. I mean, and the sad part about it, why I wrote that piece, is that I've been trying my best over the years, and people don't really understand what government, how it functions, and what's going on. So that's kind of why I did this piece, to say, look, you know, I used to be naive. I thought, my God, they're not looking at this correctly. So I would go down there, I met with the Treasury, and then they go, yeah, but we'll be paying back with cheaper dollars. And you look at them and you go, you do know what you're doing then, don't you?
Of course they do.
And so it's been, that's why I posted the letters and stuff, to try and get people to realize that this is really the way things happen here. I am working with some of the good guys in Congress, and they actually have me preparing a proposal for revising the world monetary system, and they understand you can't even bring this out because they'll never get the votes, there's too much lobbying against it, etc. So it's to stay in the drawer, and when absolutely everything collapses again, then they will pull it out and say, okay, fine, and hopefully get it passed in 2 days or less.
Yeah. Now, can you walk through some of these proposals for me? Just give us a thumbnail sketch of what the proposals would do.
If the primary issue is that a lot of people talk about balancing budgets and gold standards and stuff. I mean, what they're missing here is you're just, you know, you're not even slowing down the pink bunny. This thing is just going so rapidly, it's crazy. Assuming interest rates don't even rise, which is...
That's a big assumption.
Absurd.
Yeah.
We're paying about $4 billion a week right now in interest. By 2016, that will be 10. By the time we get out to 2020, we're looking at 15. Now, if we tick up just, you know, a half a point in interest rates, by 2016, we're looking at 20. So we're starting in getting into that exponential move.
Mm-hmm.
So the real problem we have, I know a lot of people with, you know, a lot of the gold bugs, they talk about fiat money, etc. Money's always fiat. It's that's just the way it is. If you take a gold coin and there's only $100 worth of gold and you say it's $200, that's still fiat. All right.
Sure.
It's just a lesser degree of it. What we have to realize is that we have gotten to the point where paper money itself, money is like a share in a corporation. It rises and falls on the world markets based upon confidence. So you saw, for example, the Greek bonds get absolutely killed, and then they turned around and say, oh, well, who's going to be next? Oh, that's Spain, that's Italy, Portugal. They start selling that. No actual event of a default took place. It's anticipation. So that is the realm of this confidence that I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
If you lose confidence in something, and it may be anticipation, it may be, you know, just being paranoia, but effectively the paranoid person, sometimes he's right. And so what happens is the market will go down and crash and burn in anticipation without the fundamental event happening.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, we're looking at money is simply really like a share in a corporation. It rises and falls depending upon what people believe at
sure.
this moment. And once you understand that, why are we then borrowing these nothing? We needed to borrow when money was gold. You physically had to bring some back in to spend it again. We don't need that anymore. We have actually evolved past that. So when you look at it, if we had just printed the money that we needed to fund the government and the programs, all right, if you take the national debt as it stands right now, as crazy as that sounds,
sure,
60% of that total national debt is interest.
Wow.
So we're talking about if we had printed the money, it would have been less inflationary than what we have.
And now it's too late. We're still printing money, but essentially
it's too late to do so. It's way too late. There's no such thing as we can't balance a budget. Because if you balance the budget and the interest continues to go, eventually 100% of the budget goes to interest. I mean, all your social programs will be thrown out the door. The military will go. Everything will go. And the only person that will get anything are the bankers. Period. So that's not the solution.
Yeah.
Balancing budgets are not going to do this. Going to a gold standard, what's that going to do? Now we've got to pay the bankers in gold?
Yes.
We have to really revise the monetary system. We have to say, look, end this borrowing stuff. This is absolutely crazy. We have to live within our means, and I'm not talking about a balanced budget. We have to end up stopping the borrowing, period. And you can print. The money supply has to grow in proportion at least with population. Otherwise, you end up with deflation. That was part of the problem of really why a gold standard doesn't work. Is because you would have these new discoveries, like, for example, California, mm-hmm. then Alaska, then Australia, and you would have huge inflationary spikes that were not controlled by government, wasn't really anything other than a bunch of guys found some more gold. Then there would be dry spells when people weren't finding anything, and we needed to increase the money supply and couldn't. So you end up in deflation. So you have to really control the economy a bit better than
yeah.
haphazard as it has been going. And we kind of have one foot in each world where we borrowed when we were on a gold standard because you needed the physical gold to spend. So we're still borrowing, but we don't have a gold standard, so there's no – why are we paying all these bankers' interest all the time? And 40% of the interest expenditures leave the United States. And people have to really look at this carefully. The primary issue that why Japan did well and China isn't because of trade. The bulk of the money that they have made has come from interest.
From Uncle Sam.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we really have to say, what are we doing here? And, I mean, the problem when you go down to Washington is that nobody agrees on much of anything. But one thing that they will agree on is that, yes, on a personal level, nobody could possibly run their life this way. You can't borrow every year, never actually produce anything, and the bank just lets you go ahead forever. Yet when you go down to Washington, the one thing they say, oh, yeah, but that's private. We're the government. We can do whatever we want.
Yeah, yeah.
And so there's a disconnect between reality and the way they actually do things. And they just think that because they're the government, they're the exception. And, they passed so many crazy laws. And I think that, that's a huge problem, and they don't even appreciate that. I mean, I've had to advise corporations, et cetera, and why should a corporation start hiring people right now when they know you got presidential elections coming, you don't know what the tax rate's going to be, everybody assumes that, you know, the guys that actually do know what's going on, because the press doesn't tell you. What the politicians have done, they scheduled everything for this, what is called the lame duck Congress.
Mm-hmm.
So the Bush tax cuts come up at the end of the year. That committee they formed that was a bipartisan committee and was going to cut the deficit, et cetera, they have not agreed on anything. So the cutting becomes automatic as of January. So everything, the taxes are going to go up dramatically next year. You're looking at taxes on investment jumping from probably 15% to 40%. And you're going to be looking at slashing and burning a tremendous amount of spending and in different areas. But that spending is only going to be taken up by the interest expenditures to the bankers. So the politicians have scheduled this so that it hits in the lame duck Congress.
Of course.
And therefore, then they'll say, oh, my God, vote for me in 2016 and I'll reverse this. You know, but everybody, you know, the press doesn't help, because the press is basically in the pocket of both of them. And nobody's really saying it the way it is. You'll probably see more of a high volatility in the markets coming in September.
Okay.
Because then by that time, the press will start picking up, oh, gee, the tax cuts do expire at the end of the year, and my God, taxes are going to go up sharply. That's going to affect investment. You know, so you're going to start seeing more of that at the end of the year. But all you have to do is pick up the rug and look, and you'll know what the schedules are. So, but they don't report it.
Of course not. Martin Armstrong on This Week in Money. And speaking of Washington and crazy laws, here's a fine piece of legislation from Wisconsin's Paul Ryan, the House Resolution 4966, the Sequester Replacement Act of 2012. And it talks about the usual stuff about cutting social spending and increasing defense spending. But right at the end of it, interesting stuff, the bill takes aim at financial reforms. They want to eliminate the government's powers to shut down large financial institutions. Now, if you've been watching Money, Power, and Wall Street, which we talked about, that's kind of at the center of all this, too big to fail. Listen to this classic doublespeak from Representative Ryan, Martin. This bill saves billions of taxpayers' dollars by eliminating the Dodd-Frank-created too-big-to-fail bailout fund. We need to end the concept of too-big-to-fail. So I did some digging on this and found out that the actual aim of Dodd-Frank was to end too-big-to-fail. So how do we square this? It doesn't make sense.
Well, this is everything they do. Is, I mean, like Rubin getting in there and limiting Glass-Steagall in 99. Effectively, when the government shut down Salomon Brothers for manipulating the World Treasury auctions, and Warren Buffett stepped in to head Salomon Brothers, that's when Goldman turned and said, and a lot of them in New York said, hey, we got to control government, otherwise they'll shut us down.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how they make money. I mean, they basically make money by always rigging everything. They're not really traders. And they want guaranteed trades. They will not risk their money like everybody else.
Yeah.
And that's why so many markets have been manipulated. It's just absolute insanity. But this is the way it is. You know, Rubin was the first one. After that, I mean, he got in there, became Secretary of the Treasury. Then next one came in, Paulson. And you'll notice Rubin was with Clinton. Where'd Paulson go? With Bush. It doesn't matter. You know, people get all excited about, oh, Republican or Democrat. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. They all agree on one thing. Government gets more power. They stand up with some philosophical things to get people, you know, all excited and voting. But, you know, there's nothing really substantial that ever changes. Obama stood up and said, oh, my God, all these signing statements that Bush did, that's not fair. It's terrible. And what did he do? He did more than Bush did. So I mean, once they get in there, they go, oh, well, this is a pretty good power. I like that. Yeah, let's just keep going. And they count on the press not paying attention and not being interested in reporting.
Yeah.
And so they just basically get away with it. And it's kind of like Rome in the sense that just give them circuses and bread and we can do whatever we want. Unfortunately, that's the way it goes.
That is the way it goes. Martin Armstrong is founder of Princeton Economics. You can follow Martin online at armstrongeconomics.com. Martin, thanks for being with us today.
Oh, it's always a pleasure.
This Week in Money is a production of How Street Media Incorporated.